Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just horrifying Steelers playoff loss. This one to your arch rival. You give up a record amount of rushing yards in a playoff game. You dig yourself a gigantic hole again, down 21-0. You have Kirk Herbstreit calling the game for Amazon Prime saying that you're going through the motions. You look lifeless, and it's basically an embarrassing effort by your team. Russell Wilson did end up throwing for almost 300 yards. In this game, it looked a lot like Ben Roethlisberger's game against Cleveland in 2020 where he threw for a ton of yards, but you fell behind in that game 28-0, and most of it seemed very hollow.
It's cosmetic. It's the old, Donnie, it's the old NBA YouTube joke of Chris Paul hits a huge three to cut the deficit to 42. That's what it felt like for him in this game.
There are four quarterbacks left standing in the AFC playoffs. Lamar Jackson's won two MVPs, maybe
probably
three.
Win a third.
If he doesn't win it, Josh Allen will
win it.
Patrick Mahomes, who's won three Super Bowls, possibly four, and C.J. Stroud, who's won the Rookie of the Year, and is now in an elite group that includes Ben Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson of guys who have won playoff games in both their rookie and sophomore seasons. That's what you're up against.
Yep.
You're not going to compete because your defense gets paid a lot of money and sucks in big games. You can't keep up with those quarterbacks with this zig while everybody else zags approach with somebody like Russell Wilson at quarterback.
By the way, you forgot Joe Burrow, who's in their own division and would have been an MVP candidate had they made the playoffs.
So you tried it. It didn't work. It was a new kind of innovative outlook at quarterback this offseason, out with the old, in with the new. You tried it. You didn't get any further in the playoffs. Your record wasn't better. At the end of the day, Russ was a 500 quarterback for you, 6-6. See you later. Sayonara. That's it. I mean, you will show me. By bringing Tomlin back, which is one thing because he's owed $50 million and the Steelers won't even pay assistant coaches not to work, you will show me how much you've lowered the bar and set expectations basically down to the basement floor if you run it back with Russ next year. With a quarterback that's going to be closing in on his 37th birthday, who got worse as the season went on, not better.
I don't want him back. How many times did he say special in that interview, that one little clip? Nothing special whatsoever about his play late. All the bad Russell Wilson stuff we've heard about. He takes too many sacks. He doesn't see enough of the field. All of it true.
18 sacks in the last five games.
When the game was in the balance, he had nothing to offer. I mean, he really didn't. Let's cut the BS here. If Baltimore really wanted to go full bore on defense and shut the Steelers out, I have full confidence that they would have been able to do so. That's just the honest to God truth. This guy is not a force multiplier. He's not a difference maker. He does not possess that which, at least if Mike Tomlin thinks he possesses that which Mike feels is very important, quarterback mobility, he's wrong.
Six rushing yards on Saturday night.
If Russ was a mobile quarterback, he would break contain much quicker and actually hurt teams. He is not that guy anymore. What's there? The moon ball? Teams figured that out. They did. I mean, there's nothing to suggest that bringing him back next year is a viable move. And I was hopeful. I was hopeful for his tenure because it started off and I was like, wow, okay, this is like the ideal version of what I hoped we were going to get.
He's at least going to get more expensive and he might get a lot more expensive just because of who he is, what he thinks he's worth, what he's used to getting paid. And I just want, look, we had, I think, one end of the spectrum with Ben where if he needed to throw Tomlin under the bus or players under the bus to either make himself feel better or just because that was his personality as a leader, he did so. Basically came on the air with me and Ron the day after they lost in the playoffs and said he was thinking about retiring because he just wanted to get Todd Haley fired. Okay, so that was one end of the spectrum. This other end of things where everything's great and it's just, this is the best organization and the team is amazing and all the coaching, the coaches are great and the players are all outstanding. I don't want that either. I want someone who's more in the middle, who's not going to be a complete dink to people, but at the same time doesn't just lie to everybody and make it seem like a horrible situation is actually the best thing in the world. Chris, I mean, I think right now it's more likely that Justin Fields is their starting quarterback next year, but that's not even an alternative that I can get excited about because I have no faith or trust in them to build an offense around that guy's skill set. We know what he's good at. We know what he's bad at. And I just, basically, the Steelers becoming a team that adopts like a college offense where it's an RPO game like they do in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see them being successful that way when I don't trust the play caller, but I also don't expect them to build an offensive line like they have in Philly.
No, they don't have
Or have a running back like they have in Philly. Or great weapons in the passing game like they have in Philly.
What's the biggest reason for hope on the roster next year? That Fautanu is healthy and is actually as good as you would hope he would be as a
first-rounder?
Jones
at left tackle is an upgrade.
And that Jones finally like finds himself. You know what's funny? You say build an offense around Fields. Do you know who the actual guy is that they would need to go out and try to like pry from his team? And by pry, I mean maybe just be allowed to have the guy come here. Greg Roman. He's the one dude who's actually built that like run-first quarterback-centric offense pretty well. He did it with Kaepernick. He did it with Jackson early on. But even we know there's a shelf life with him. We do.
And they didn't have playoff success with Lamar Jackson playing that way.
But like, yeah, Justin Fields, I think, is always going to have certain limitations as a passer that you're never going to be able to just like change about him. He is who he is to a degree already. He's how many starts into his career? He's like 50-some-odd start or 45 starts in. He's just going to be who he is. And so if you're going to build an offense around him, that has to be like a radical shift. What about the Steelers strikes you as radical or willing to be radical in any way? Seriously. I mean, firing Matt Canada looked like something that they had to do under great duress and after they had like multiple meetings to probably decide whether it was the right move.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a come-to-Jesus moment with Mike Tomlin or Arthur Smith because I don't think the man who is ultimately calling the shots possesses either the acumen or the audacity to go do something like that.
It would require very hard conversations that the owner, I don't think, has any willingness to have.
Donnie, your take on this quarterback dilemma.
I'm actually on the side of what our little pal Austin Bechtold put out there yesterday. I was already leaning that way.
Well, Drew Aller's going back to Penn State, so he's got to recalibrate what he was putting out there.
Well, no, he said that just run it back with Fields. If he struggles like some people think he will, then maybe you are finally bad enough to get your high draft pick. Now, there is the worry by hook or by crook, they'll still be in the same spot.
Yeah, I think that kind of defeats that argument. I've seen them be 500 with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Like that, but that's really the entire issue. It's like they are so unwilling to just be bad once. Like they have a complete unwillingness to.
I think that's the owner and the head coach both
gut the body of their team, have a bad season, and go from there.
Well, this would be a bad year for the record to try to do that because I think this is a pretty weak class.
But can I just say, though, like, I hear that.
Well, next year, I should say.
I hear that, but they've also been in positions where they would not have needed to sink to the bottom to get a quarterback. And they've also shown that they'll throw draft capital at moving up to get a player. It just so happened that it was for an inside linebacker who sucked when they went all the way up to 10. They drafted Kenny in the first round. Kenny wasn't good enough, but they also put him in a ridiculously bad situation with the offensive coordinator and the offensive philosophy they had here.
I think that's going to scar them, though. I don't think Mike wants to go with a rookie again.
They picked Chase Claypool over Jalen Hurts.
Would Jalen Hurts be Jalen Hurts here, though?
No, probably not, but I think better than what they have. I mean, I agree with the notion that Lamar Jackson would not be a two-time MVP if he were the Steelers' quarterback. But it's more about the evaluation of players. They needed a quarterback in that draft. They looked at Terrell Edmonds, and they looked at Lamar Jackson and said, for the betterment of this franchise, drafting this safety as a third-round grade is better for us.
Can't we also kind of put that on Ben?
Well, yeah, yes, you should. Because
why, though? They drafted a quarterback in that draft who pissed him off.
Yeah, well, so that's the thing. How do you think it would have gone if they drafted one in the first round instead of the third or fourth?
Well, treated Mason Rudolph like a redheaded stepchild.
No doubt, but I think that I think Kevin Colbert liked Mason Rudolph better than Lamar Jackson.
Because he saw Mason Rudolph light up Pitt.
And they still, I think, even though Mike turned into this guy that was obsessed with quarterback mobility, I think Kevin was still, you gotta win from the pocket, and I think this guy can do that.
The one thing about Ben is they never had the guts as an organization to tell him
in his place?
Yeah, to tell him, no, you've been here a long time. That's nice that you're going to be prickly if we bring in a new quarterback. We're doing it anyway. The Minka trade, that ends up turning that team. I know Justin Herbert, not exactly a guy you want in the playoffs right now. He was wretched on Saturday. Pathetic, actually. But they still had access to that player who I think most people feel like is eventually going to figure it out. Steelers starting quarterback odds, week one, 2025. We get these emails all the time. Would you like to guess the five best odds to be their starting quarterback? Who the five players are?
I think you already told me, so I don't
want
to give it away.
Well, I'm going to try to give me the other couple.
So I think you said Darnold has the best odds, right?
3-1.
And then I think you said Aaron Rodgers is second.
4-1.
Justin Fields is
5-1.
Third.
5-1.
Russell Wilson's 4th.
6-1. Now, who's at 7-1?
Daniel Jones.
Jalen Milrow and Quinn Ewers. And then Kirk Cousins, 9-1. And they got J.J. McCarthy at 16-1. They have Tanner McKee at 50-1, which I find very funny for some reason.